Blog Talk Radio.
I was riding with the campus pastor at that time and his wife, and I was sitting in the back seat, and as we were going through the city, we passed a bar, and all of a sudden a fight broke out, and we kept riding, and one of the persons in the car remarks, "Well, that's a shame, they in there fighting, they ought to be in church." And I thought that, and I said, "But who's gonna tell them Jesus loves them? Who's gonna tell them there's a better way? And who's gonna warn them of the things coming on them so God can turn their nights today?" I'm gonna say it again. Who's gonna tell him that Jesus loves him? Who's gonna tell him there's a better way? Who's gonna warn them of the things coming on them so God can turn their night today? Somebody's gotta warn them. Somebody's gotta tell them. Would you help me say somebody?
Somebody's gotta warn them.
Oh, yeah, somebody gotta tell them.
Somebody's gotta tell them.
So I wanna ask you, wherever you are, who's gonna tell them?
Who's gonna tell them?
Jesus. Who's gonna tell them? Stay with me, somebody gotta warn them.
Somebody gotta tell them.
So I need some volunteers to raise your hand, raise your heart and say, I'm gonna tell them.
I'm gonna tell them.
Jesus loves them.
I'm gonna tell them.
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. I am Apostle, a.k.a. the Bishop Shalene Cook, and tonight I am here with my wonderful brother, Brother Rick Altman, for the Common Sense Files for this Friday, February the 9th, 2024. Now, tonight's program is entitled The Common Sense of Introducing Our Children to the Ten Commandments. But before we begin, we will have a brief word of prayer. Almost High, we come just thanking you and glorifying you for this evening. We thank you for this teaching, O God. We pray that you would pour into Brother Rick and I as we pour into your people, and that your people would receive a word that would encourage them, that would impact them, that will empower them to live a more abundant life in you right now. So, Lord God, just use us as only you can. It is in your Son Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. All right, as I have already stated, the program for tonight is entitled The Common Sense of Introducing Our Children to the Ten Commandments. So at this time, I'm going to ask that you turn your retrieve your Bibles. You will need them. Get something to write with and to write on. And please receive our Commandant of Common Sense, my dear brother, Brother Rick Altman. Amen and amen. Brother Altman, how's the weather out there in California?
Well, we had like hurricane force winds last week. The best way to describe the weather in California was when, after Johnny Carson retired from The Tonight Show many years ago, David Letterman had his nightly show, called up Johnny, who was living in Malibu in Southern California at the time. And he says, "So, Johnny, how's everything going out there in California?" And Johnny Carson responds, "Just great, Dave. The mudslides are putting out all the forest fires." There's been no better description of weather in California, because that's the way it is. It's always that way. But thanks for asking. We're going to try to stay warm and dry.
All right. Thank you. That's good, my brother. Amen.
Now, tonight we'll discuss the importance of behavior in a civilized society and how we can infuse the proper behavior into our young people, who, it's, you know, very important. They are the future, and we can introduce the best moral code, the Ten Commandments, and God to young people for their benefit and for ours. It's always to our benefit when people's behavior, I was thinking about making a bumper sticker the other day that says, "Just follow the Ten Commandments, we'll all be better off!" Exclamation point.
And I Amen.
Think perhaps,
Amen.
Yeah. So I think perhaps the best way to introduce the moral code and to help teach the young people is to discuss some current events that are going on. And what got me started thinking about this was I just saw just recently the Ten Commandments has been removed from a courthouse in Kentucky. Some concerned citizen complained that the display made them feel queasy. The Ten Commandments made them feel queasy. Well, I have to admit that I'd feel a little queasy around somebody who was queasy by the, you know, because of the best moral code in human history.
Amen.
I mean, if everyone would just follow
you
it.
You tell the truth now.
If everyone would just follow it. But there's complaints that the Ten Commandments displayed in the courthouse violates the Constitution, which it doesn't. I disagree with that. It's not a law. It's just a plaque. It's just a reminder. It's a monument. okay? It's just a reminder as to how we can live so much better if we just follow this simple code. And for those people that are made queasy by the Ten Commandments, I challenge them to produce a better code to live by. What's a better code to live by?
Amen. Amen.
And then, I mean, eventually, who knows how far this insanity will go. There's a statue of Moses holding two stone tablets on the east pediment of the Supreme Court building. You know, how long before that gets taken down? You know, so.
Well, that's true. Mm-hmm.
But this, I think, this kind of current event is a way to begin a discussion with young people and to help them to learn about the Ten Commandments and all the benefit that we can get. Now, when you're talking with young people and, you know, adults and parents, we know this, but, you know, just to remind everybody, begin with open-ended questions for them. And that's a question that, you know, requires a sentence or perhaps a paragraph. You know, tell them of the Ten Commandments being removed and then ask them a question. You know, what do you think about removing it? When you discuss the Ten Commandments with them, and of course, younger people, we should be talking about the more basic ones like don't lie, don't steal, and that sort of thing. You could ask this young person in an open statement, you know, what do you think about somebody who lies or who steals? Okay, and then get them to discuss and then, you know, because that'll get their thought process going. And then you can say, well, you know, that's why the Ten Commandments, you know, they say thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not lie. Okay, and then in that discussion, then you can move on to what we call closed-end questions that, you know, what the answer would be a yes or a no. Then after you get the young person's, you know, thoughts about it and everything, then you could say, well, would you want somebody who steals to spend the night in your room with you in your coin collection? And then, of course, you shut up and you let them answer. And that would, I think, send home to them, you know, the importance of, you know, this code of ethics, this code of behavior. And then you can also say just how much better the world would be if everybody just followed this code of behavior. Then you ask the children if they have a question. Mm-hmm. And if they have a question about it. And this will, you know, children naturally come up with questions, you know, and they want to know. They want to know the right way and everything. And so this is also a process to help get them thinking and wondering out loud with you about certain things. Okay, read aloud to them. Read the Ten Commandments out loud to them and go through each one, okay? For the younger people, you know, find books about the Bible that have pictures in them, you know, 3 to 6 years old and about that to help, you know, stir their interest and to get their to get their minds going in order to ask questions, okay? And, of course, this is something we should follow in every occasion. Speak kindly and in a respectful manner to them, okay? I remember when I was young and I was curious about something, if I asked a question, it wasn't to have somebody give me a diatribe. I just wanted an answer because I wanted to fill something in my life, you know. Say please and thank you and excuse me and, you know, and be polite to the child because then it also teaches them politeness. And I think this is the kind of the way that we can introduce, you know, the moral code to younger people. And that's the kind of thing, you know, that at that point then they will expand. They'll talk to their brothers and their sisters or to their you know, their playmates and that sort of thing. And it'll also kind of waken them up to other things. You know, when they hear about somebody, they come home and they heard that somebody's bicycle was stolen from school. Well, there's the ability right there for you to start your discussion about, you know, why it's better for people not to steal because of the pain, because stealing brings pain to people. Now, back to the discussion about why the Ten Commandments are being removed. I think that there's a lot of reasons for it, but I've not heard a good one. Okay. And as I was going through this, I ran across a quote by Dr. Martin Luther King, which I thought was perfect. And he says, how does one determine when a law is just or unjust? Because some of these people that want to have the Ten Commandments removed, you know, oh, they're unjust, they're not fair, whatever. So anyway, Dr. King, how does one determine when a law is just or unjust? A just law is a man-made code that squares with the moral law or the law of God. An unjust law is a code that is out of harmony with the moral law. Put it into the terms of St. Thomas Aquinas, an unjust law is a human law that is not rooted I'm quoting Dr. King, who says, to put it in the terms of St. Thomas Aquinas, an unjust law is a human law that is not rooted in eternal law and natural law. And so, you know, the whole idea that the laws of Western civilization, you know, come from the Ten Commandments, and, you know, I think we're all agreed that it is the best moral code. You know, once again, we have another way to introduce this moral code to the younger people. And then, of course, ask them for their questions. What are their concerns? Have they ever noticed anything like this? And you get the young person talking, and then that gets their thought process going as well. One of the comments about why the Ten Commandments are being removed is because they serve as a reminder to the citizenry of universal standard of good and evil, of right and wrong, of justice and injustice. And there are a lot of people out there who, they don't like themselves, they don't like the country, you know, they're upset with what's going on. So anything that, I wouldn't say that the Ten Commandments direct your behavior, it is giving you suggestions for your behavior and how to act in a way that your family, your neighbors, your town, your society will benefit from. And I think, you know, again, this is the point that we can continue to bring home to our children about why it is so important to recognize and to live by this best moral code, you know, as our mentor Dennis Prager calls it in his book. Now.
Amen. Amen. That's good.
Yeah. Now, there's other ways that teaching through play and example and all this other kind of thing, but I think the best way to start it off is with a discussion. And ask children, have they noticed that any of their friends, you know, at school or, you know, while they're playing, have broken any of the commandments? Okay? Ask them, have they ever seen anything like that? You may be surprised as an adult to find out that kids are paying attention to what's going on. So that would be one way to, to get them thinking about, you know, the Ten Commandments, how to act, you know, the behavior and everything. And then as your conversation continues over the months and over the time of the discussion and everything, you can then bring in, you know, the other commandments and discuss them in such a way that, once again, brings, you know, more than just words on a page, but actually the kind of life experience that they're going to feel. And did they benefit? Or, you know, or was there some worry that they, you know, might suffer if somebody in their immediate environment was not following the Ten Commandments, and how much better it would be if they did follow it, and how much better it would be for them, your child, and your family if they did follow it. And that's the thing you always want to keep rounding back to. So I think I think that's just you know, something, and looking forward to the new year, okay, that's something that we could focus on, and I think see the benefits from, not only, you know, in our own families, but in our society around us.
Amen. That's good. Awesome. Awesome. All right. That was some good information, and I pray that you were taking your notes. And if you were, hallelujah, mm-hmm. you're gonna get a second crack at it, because I'm gonna come in right at this time, and I'm gonna follow back my brother up and just back it up with the Word of God, because it makes good common sense to introduce our children to the Ten Commandments, because God gave us his law for our good. That's what Deuteronomy 10 and 13 says. And his commandments are not just for one group of people or age group. Like my brother Rick said, we have to be, they're good for the kids, and it's also good for us. But if we break these good laws, we will have some bad results. Now, the Ten Commandments show us how to love God. You know, he made us. He loves us deeply. So knowing the first four commandments will help your child to know how to love God back. The last six commandments show us how to love other people. It starts with our parents in the fifth commandment. Then the last five show how to get along with others. Now, thinking about what they mean can help kids to be good neighbors and good future husbands and wives. Obeying them can help make other people happy, and we will be happier too. Like my brother said, if everybody just followed the Ten Commandments, everybody around here would be a lot happier. Because the overall idea of the Ten Commandments is kind of like operating instructions. You know, God created humans. He loves them. And he gave instructions to help guide and keep everyone safe. They are good and for our good. Jesus even repeats some of the commandments in his teachings in the New Testament. The Ten Commandments were essentially laws spoken by God to Moses on Mount Sinai and then written on stone tablets by the finger of God in Exodus, the second book of the Bible, chapter 20. They were to be given to the Israelites to help them create community and to show them how to obey God. Now, Moses did not refer to them as the Ten Commandments. They were literally translated to read 10 words. Now, it's important that kids understand that the Ten Commandments do not exist so that salvation can be earned, but instead the Ten Commandments show us how impossible it is to be perfect. And therefore, it emphasizes our need for Jesus as our Savior. That being said, we still strive to obey the Ten Commandments as we strive to become more like Christ. And tonight, all we're trying to do is help parents explain the Ten Commandments in appropriate language so their kids can easily understand them. Now, the first commandment, as we know, if you want to open your Bibles now, go to Exodus chapter 20. That's where you can find the Ten Commandments. And, of course, the first commandment says, you shall have no other God before me. Well, like I said, the first thing we got to remember is we need to be teaching age appropriate. But if you're talking to, you know, your 7 or 8-year-old, the simplest way to put this is you should not put anything or anyone higher than God. You see, God should be the most important part of our life. He is the Lord our God, and he loves us so much, and we are to love him in return. It's not wise or good to love or put other things higher than God in our lives. And God reiterates this commandment again in Deuteronomy, and Jesus refers to it in the New Testament as the most important commandment, love the Lord your God. Now, no matter how old we are, we must put God first in our lives. He is more important than anyone and anything else. He loves us deeply. And so we should love him with all our hearts, no matter how old we are or how young we are. We must put God first in our lives. He is more important than anyone or anything else. He loves us so deeply that we should love him with all of our hearts. You know, the Bible gives many examples of young people who love God. For example, as a young boy, Samuel worked hard at God's tabernacle. When God called, he answered. He said, "Speak, for your servant hears." That is in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. And you can read more of that for yourselves when you go back and you start really want to follow up on all the scriptures for the Ten Commandments. All right. Now, in Exodus 20, 4 through 6, we will see the second commandment. You shall not make for yourselves an image in the form of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. Look, when you're talking to your kids, the most important thing you want to get across is we should not and they should not make things and worship them. Because the second commandment is like the first, in that it refers not to putting anything before God. This commandment discusses the creation of other things by humans. It specifically discusses worshiping and bowing down and goes into detail as to why. You see, a lot of times things may seem like they are similar to God, but that is a false God and should not be put above the one true God. Nothing that humans create can even compare to the importance that God holds. You see, you have to let them know that God is so great, no picture or statue can represent him. And images of other false gods are worthless. They lead people away from God. Josiah became king at age 8. Even when he was young, he learned about the many idols of false gods. He made a plan to get rid of them all over his kingdom. And you can read about that in the book Josiah, the boy who became king. Now, the third commandment simply says, "You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name." Tell your child, listen, you should not use God's name in a mean or bad way. You know, because it's common in society today to take God's name in vain. And many kids, even at a young age, will have heard God's name used in a mean or bad way. We've got to teach our kids Amen. That God's name is special and is to be worshipped and honored. But society has normalize the use of God's name in many bad ways. Many times people will yell out God's name when they are hurt or scared or surprised. But you know what? That's not a form of worship or honor. But what it is an example of misusing God's name. Another way to explain it is that it is not good to do bad things and use God as the reason. Okay? You see, make sure that your child always remembers that God's name is special, and we have no right to use it carelessly or to use it to curse other people. But sadly today, people misuse God's name all the time. We must avoid letting that get into our minds. Jesus even said in Matthew 4:34, "Do not swear at all." And then as you look at the fourth commandment, and it says, "Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy." So you can teach your child what's being said here is to remember to take a day of rest to simply honor God. See, this commandment discusses not forgetting that there should be a day of rest and that we set it aside as a special day for God to honor him and not do any work. It references that even God took a day of rest during creation. There are 6 other days to complete all work, and we are all designed by God to need rest. This one, like the other three commandments before it, is teaching us and our children how to love God in return. God rested on the seventh day, and he wants us to rest too. It is a day to focus on God and on his beautiful creation and on our families. Kids and families can do many things to make the Sabbath special. You know, just by sitting down and having a nice Sunday meal. Many times a lot of families go out to dinner. You know, just sitting around and playing a board game. There are many ways that you can demonstrate this fourth commandment with your kids. The fifth commandment is honor your mother and your father so that you may live long in the land and your God, the land your God is giving you. All you need to tell your child is, look, you need to be kind and respectful to me as your parents, to your grandparents, to all adults, you know, really. But to teach them this is saying, look, honoring parents will look different to you. This is what you got to remember. Honoring parents will look different for every kid. But the commandment discusses that this is done to live longer. As parents are often wiser, no more will provide sound direction to kids to be able to live long and avoid mistakes that they have made themselves. You know, Paul even pointed out the blessings God gave along with the fifth commandment. He said, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. That is from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. You see, God wants us to treat our parents with respect. And I want young people to notice here, for the young people that are listening, God did not put a caveat on this commandment. He didn't say, honor your father and mother unless they are, you know, unless they are evil, unless they are drunks, unless they are this, or unless they are that. No, he said, you have to honor your mother and your father. Now, you might not like what they do. You might not like who they are. But if you want to be blessed and you want your days to be long upon this earth, you will honor your mother and your father. And that might simply mean you don't go out in public speaking ill of your parents, you don't go around complaining about your parents, but you simply hear them when they speak to you and listen and try your very best to obey. Because if you do that, you will be blessed. Now, the sixth commandment is one, like my brother Rick said, you know, kids young, even the youngest kids, they are coming far too familiar with, and it's you shall not murder. See, Izzy, that one should be a no-brainer. It's, you know, we shouldn't take anybody else's life away from them. You know. Now, murder is a term that most younger kids may not be familiar with, but they will be familiar with the concept because of what they may be watching on television, what they may be looking out the window at. It doesn't matter, but it is becoming, because it is becoming more and more common, you know, through news and the internet. Yeah. Our children are exposed to murder more and more every day. But we have to remind our kids that our lives were given to us by God, and it's not one single person decision to make to decide when somebody else's life ends. People can be hurt, but murder is by far the greatest physical injury that can be done to someone. The specific word used for murder in this verse in the Bible represents the shedding of innocent blood. And it does not refer to death because of a criminal act. This is, we're talking about, excuse me,
Bless you.
I beg your pardon. People who just wake up one day for whatever reason and decide to go out to a mall and just start killing up people that they don't even know. We got to remind our kids that God gave us life, and he wants us to know how precious life is, and we should never even think about killing or hurting somebody else. Remember Cain? He got angry and jealous at his brother, and he allowed himself to get angrier and angrier until he murdered his own brother. We can learn why we should not think like that from Cain and Abel. You know, just sitting up, and that's how it begins. And the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Okay, this might be, like my brother said, this might be one that you save a little bit later until when they get a little bit older. But if you're going to talk to them about it, because kids are so exposed to everything so early these days. But what we should be letting our kids know is that people who are married should keep all the promises that they make unto their husband or wife until the end of their lives. God is saying not to break those promises. Now, I know this is going to be a tough one to teach younger kids who are not familiar with adultery, what it means, which is a sexual relation. But there is a way to explain the commandment in a broader sense, that is by discussing that God wants the promises that are made at a wedding to be kept forever. That's what we can tell them. And we can tell them that God created family. He wanted a man and a woman to love each other and to get married and do all of that before they have children. He wanted that husband and that wife to be faithful to each other before, during, and after that marriage. And that means even after they've gone home to glory. Because, see, parents, today Satan is attacking families. He tries to make people think it's okay to have sex before marriage. He tries to make pornography seem okay. He wants our kids to think that drugs is all right or cutting themselves is all right, but it's all in good fun. But when it's actually hurting them and their families. You know, our kids can obey the seventh commandment by deciding to avoid the traps. You know, they're not going to go out. They're going to remember, you know, they should just go out in the presence of friends, you know, go out in groups, go out where the pressure is not necessarily put on our younger teens, to use drugs or to drink alcohol or to have sex. You know, start getting your kids around kids that are in the church, people that you know, and you know how they're being raised. Because see, we just can't assume that all parents are like us, that all parents want our children to live by this God's moral code. All parents are not like us and want our children to be an example of God, who God is. So we have to check and know, you know, who our kids are going around, what atmosphere they are in, you know, what's really going on. Now, the eighth commandment is pretty simple. My brother hit on it, and he used a wonderful example. You know, and it's you shall not steal. Just straight up, your children, I don't care what age they are, you could just tell, look, don't be taking what is not yours. Huh. And most kids, I'm going to tell you right now, they're familiar with the term steal. And like my brother said, it will probably be one of the earliest and the easiest commandments to discuss, you know. And we need to be teaching them that not only do we not take things from other people, God gives us what is needed. And you know what? When they steal, it's kind of like telling God, well, what you gave me isn't enough. You see, everything we have comes from God.
Yes.
We should be thankful for what we have,
yes,
and try to work toward getting other things when we can't afford them. But kids and adults can be tempted to take things that are not theirs. But God tells us not to steal. We should not focus on getting, but on giving. God is the great giver, and we should learn to give and not take. Now, the ninth commandment is, you shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. Look, just tell your child, let them know the first thing you want to get down in their soul about this commandment is, don't go around telling lies about other people. You should always tell the truth.
Amen.
You know, you need to get your kids in love with telling the truth at an early age. Make them familiar with telling the truth. This is a great way to discuss the opposite of truth and what is false. You know, an easy topic to discuss is making up stories when asked what happened in a certain situation. See, this is a common situation where kids are tempted to lie to avoid getting in trouble. Or, you know, they don't want to tell what they did. You know, Jesus also references false testimony specifically as being evil in the book of Matthew. It can seem so easy to lie. We can lie to try to avoid getting in trouble. We can lie to make ourselves look better. But lying will always have bad results in the end. My grandmama said, if you tell one lie, you got to tell 20 more lies to try to get out of that one lie. And by the end of the day, you done lied so much, you don't know who you lied to, what you told them. You don't know if you're going and coming. But if you tell the truth, oh, hallelujah, and you always tell the truth, you are not going to have that problem. And teach them to know and understand that God loves truth. He loves honesty. And he wants us to be honest. And then the final commandment, parents, is you shall not covet your neighbor's house or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Look, just break it down like this. Sweetheart, you should not want or desire what other people have. And this commandment really is encompassing desire and want in many forms. You know, the desire, the want of material things, and people are specifically mentioned. And then the verse ends and indicates anything. So I think it's safe to say this commandment could be summed up by saying, God wants you to be happy with what is already yours. You know, most of the Ten Commandments discuss what we do. It's our moral code. Hallelujah. The Tenth Commandment discusses what we think. And, of course, what we think often becomes what we do. You see, coveting really is really wanting things we can or shouldn't have. See, it's another trap from the devil. He wants us to focus on the things we can't have. He wants us to grumble about things like, well, why does she get the lead part in the play? I can do it better. Or why does he get to go to the track meet with the varsity team? I've been here longer. You know, Satan wants our children to be dissatisfied. And he knows that thinking like this will make them unhappy. And it's exactly the opposite way of God's way of thinking. And it's selfish. God wants us to be loving and giving. And when we really think about all God's laws, we see they are good and they are for our good. And when we really think about all that he has done for us, why would we not trust his laws? Why would we not want to live by his moral code? And see, what we need to start teaching our kids is God loves hearing from kids. Jesus took time for kids. He pointed out their good examples. And he will help you as you are guided by the Holy Spirit to be the to teach your children how to become the best them they can be. And you need to start early. You need to start early so that they can get used to hearing, you know, what it is. They need to get used to understanding when, you know, you say, oh, thou shalt not steal. They, not only do we want them to get these principles down in their spirit, that, you know, we want thou shalt not murder. We want them to know, be able to share that with their peers. And like my brother Rick so eloquently put it, you know, we need to start asking questions, like, and take it straight from what we see on the news or what we see on the internet. You know, we can see the young people on the internet, and they're they're all on their beds and they're rolling in money. You know. Are they're in front of the big flashy cars and you know, they got some big old jewelry on. They got necklaces on with cross. They got crosses so big Jesus himself could hang off of them. But then they're opening their mouth and such foul and vile stuff is coming out of it. So we have to teach our children. We have to live by this moral code, and we can't do it when we feel like it. We can't do it sometimes. We have to do it all day, every day, until Jesus returns, all the time. Because my brother Rick used that good analogy. What if nobody wanted to obey the rules of the road? We would have a pretty good hot mess out here on these highways and streets and highways and byways now, wouldn't we? Everybody just driving anywhere they want to drive.
Amen.
But as parents, we are responsible for teaching our children and for being mentors to other children, because there are a lot of latchkey kids out there. There are a lot of kids that are kind of just, you know, wondering about, they really don't have a lot of guidance for whatever reason. But we as adults who love God, who believe in the Ten Commandments, who want to see people live according to the way that God has commanded, we know. You know, like Dennis Prager said, it's the best moral code. Even if you did not want to refuse to believe in God, I'm telling you now, the Ten Commandments will still be the best moral code.
Amen.
Because everything God does, he does it for our good. And he didn't do it because we earned it. He doesn't do it because we deserve it. He does it because he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So that we can walk in a way that we can commune with him. He says, I am holy, so be ye holy.
Amen.
You know, does that mean we won't make mistakes? Of course not. We're going to make mistakes. Are we gonna fall short on some of these commandments sometimes? Of course we will. But the wonderful good news is we have Jesus Christ. We can go to the Lord Jesus, and we can repent of those sins, and we can get up and begin again. When we are in Christ and we make a mistake, whether we be an adult or a child, and we fall short on one of these commandments, the devil will want to tell us that you're doomed. You have a life sentence in hell. You know, you can never, I knew, you know, everybody knew that you wasn't really a Christian. Oh, he can talk some good old smack when you fall short. But Jesus said, that in this life we would have trouble. In this world we would have trouble, but fret not, because he has overcome the world. Jesus said, hallelujah, that we are made more than conquerors in him that love us. He said that we are able, we are more, we have been given spiritual gifts in heavenly places. And I mean every last one of them. Everything that we will ever need has already been given to us. All we need to do is open up our eyes, hallelujah, and do what God says in the Ten Commandments and all the other commandments that Jesus gave us. But if you notice, no matter what the commandment was, it was rooted somewhere in this ten. Okay? See, we have to remember Jesus, what Jesus told us did not do away with the Ten Commandments. It just explained it better. And it showed us how to live that out for real. For real. No more. It showed us how to walk it out instead of, you know, killing sacrifices and going to the temple once, and, you know, and all of this stuff. You know, doing the same thing over and over and over again. Through Christ, hallelujah, we have been given the ability to live out this moral code, and we should teach our children, we should train them up in the way that they should go so that when they are old, they will not depart from it. Amen and glory to God. Amen. Brother Rick, I want to thank you, hallelujah, for wanting to talk about, you know, the importance of us training up our children. It just makes good sense. It makes common sense. Hallelujah. So at this time, we're going to open up the lines, and we are going to, we have Mother Mitchell, Mother Mattie, and Mother Apostle Zeta Flowers in the house. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start with Mother Mitchell, and then I'm going to go to Apostle Zeta because I know she has some nuggets. And I have a special assignment that I've asked Mother Mattie to do. She's going to make her comments, and then she's going to close our program. She's going to pray before we close our program. So we will start with you, Mother Mitchell.
Thank you,
Mother Mitchell.
Look, first of all, I hope you hear me. Can you hear me?
Yes, just say what you need to say. Yes, we can hear you. Just say what you need to say before we came.
Okay. I just want to say that I agree real quick. I just say that Brother Altman said that you said, Apostle, heard amen going around and agreeing. I think we are all in love and agreement about how we should use a code with our children. And thank Dr. Altman for being and on the program and teach us. And I will do that, and I will say it was solid.
All right. We got most of that. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, Brother Altman, once again, she was just conveying that she was glad. She really enjoyed you. She was glad that you came out and you taught, and we appreciate you doing that because, you know, and it's just a beautiful thing to see and to hear my brother, you know, just putting together these teachings and really bringing it to the table and giving us something to think about. And he is the perfect example of a man who I know knows God, I believe knows God, believes in God. He does his best to live by the moral code, but he's not always, you know, you won't see him thumping his Bible and running up and down the street and quoting everything, but See, God is more important, is more concerned about us living the Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. It's good to know them. Oh, we can memorize them, but he wants us to live the Ten Commandments. Amen. So I want to thank you, Mother Mitchell. Now I'm going to bring in Apostle Zeta. Apostle Zeta, take your time. Come on in the room. We're talking about the importance of teaching our young people the Ten Commandments early.
Amen. Praise God. This teaching has been wonderful. And it's clear and taught in a great way where it can be understood by all who hear. And children, if there were any children listening to it, and I think I have one here that was hearing some, but, you know, the important thing that you said was that, you know, we must teach them. We must teach them, those of us that know to do that, to really teach them at an early age so that they know and understand. And then, you know, the key word was so that they would obey them, you know.
Yeah.
Ten Commandments were not written for just to be written. There was a purpose for all of us.
That's right.
And so if we teach them and make sure they have an understanding, and someone said, I think Brother Rick said, they should be asked questions.
Uh-huh.
And when we ask children questions, then we know for sure that they've been listening, and that we know
Amen.
That they have heard. And when we have heard, then we're responsible for doing what the Word says to do. So it was really good. I enjoyed everything and the other comments as well, comments from Mother Mitchell. And
Amen.
It was just good. Excellent teaching.
And
we can't get
Excellent.
Enough of it, especially in this day and time.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right. And we're going to stay right here with these Ten Commandments until the Lord tells us to stop. Because if Pastor Joseph Prince can teach for the last 25 years on nothing but grace, you know, we can teach about this moral code as well. And
yes.
Because everything that we do in life really pertains to it in one way or another, you know?
Amen.
Just in the fact that we, you know, the way we live our lives shows that we love God and we honor God above any and everything. You know, the way we talk to people, the way we interact with others is all governed by the Ten Commandments. You know, one thing that really upset Jesus about the Sadducees and the Pharisees is they made up 900, well, I'm exaggerating, but you know, they kept making up all these rules because they couldn't keep 10. You know?
Amen.
And that's why he called them hypocrites and vipers, because
right.
every time they couldn't keep a rule, they make a new one.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible has been written, and it is the truth. It's God's holy word. He tells us what he expects. He gives us a commandment in Exodus. And then the entire New Testament shows us how to walk that
Amen.
Out. Tells us
Amen.
What to do so that we can live by that moral code and be victorious in living that moral code. Now, I'm going to ask Mother Mattie Scott to come into the room. And Mother Scott, I'm going to ask you to make your comments. And then I felt led to ask her to pray for us before we close, and then we will close the program. Amen.
Thank
so Mother Scott, you. Come on in the room.
Yes,
and first we'll hear your
yes,
comments,
ma'am.
And then we'll hear your prayer. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Good evening to everyone. I enjoyed everyone's comment. Brother Rick, your teaching was wonderful. You broke it down clear where everyone could understand. I learned from this because I didn't realize he was trying to take the Ten Commandments away. I mean, they don't want the children praying in the schools, and they want to take the word God out of Pledge of Allegiance. They want to take the word God off of our currency, which says in God we trust, but they don't want the babies praying in school. They have taken prayer out of school. So now I learned they want to take the Ten Commandments away. And I believe to my soul that's why it's been so many mass murders at these schools. They want the children. They don't want the children to pray. So it was a wonderful lesson. And I praise for the millennial generation, the young generation.
Yeah.
That's what
yeah.
they are called, the millennial,
yes,
the millennial generation. I pray for them because some of them never been in the church. And that's my constant prayer for not only the homeless, orphans, the widows, the elderly, the afflicted, the poverty, poor, incarcerated behind prison state bars and juvenile delinquents and the street people. But I always pray for the young babies, the young children, crack babies, mothers with own crack and all this stuff. I just, Lord have mercy. I just pray for the young children. So I thank you, Brother Rick, for how you broke it down about the Ten Commandments. And that's something even the adults should realize, because some of us have broken the Ten Commandments. Some of us have. We have not been saved all the time. So
that's
it is
right.
our responsibility to teach our young children, our young adults, and teenagers.
Yes, ma'am.
That was wonderful.
Ma'am.
And God bless all of you, Mother Mitchell, Apostle Zeta. God bless you. God bless you, Bishop Cook.
God bless you.
Thank you,
ma'am. Brother Rick and Mrs. Gibbons, Brother Gibbons, she missed a wonderful lesson. Keep her in prayer, though, and her brother and her family. Keep them in prayer, and I know that you do.
Yes.
And I thank you.
Amen.
You ready for me to pray?
Amen.
Yes, Mother Mad T. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Lead us in prayer, please, ma'am. And thank you.
I will. Yes, ma'am. I'm going to the holy, holy, beautiful throne of grace of Father God and King Jesus right now. I'm going to the holy, beautiful, holy, beautiful throne of grace right now. Father God, King Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for all that you've done for us, Lord. We thank you right now. And we thank you, Lord, for what you have done. We thank you, Lord, for what you about to do. And we thank you, Lord, for what you will do in the future, Lord. Because, Lord, you never change. We change, but you don't never change. So we thank you right now, even for waking us up this morning and closing us in our right mind, giving us our health and strength to be able to walk and carry on and do the things we need to do. So, Lord, we just say thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
And I lift up
the millennial generation, And some people say the children of today are lost generation, but I don't think so. We, as adults, we can teach the young people, the young babies about
you,
your will and your way and the word of God. And the word of God will stand forever and ever. It's everlasting. And the gospel is the good news of
Jesus
Christ. So Lord, I pray right now. I'm lifting up the millennial generation, the babies that have been born this year in January, New Year babies, from the New Year babies to the children in elementary school to the young teenagers to your young adults, Lord. And some of them never been in the church. They don't even know who you are. I pray for them, Lord, in the partner they stand.
Yes,
I pray,
Jesus.
Lord, that somebody older, maybe a grandparent, to teach them to give their life to you, Lord.
Lord Jesus.
Like King David said, I once was young, but now I'm old. Never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor they see begging for bread. Lord is ever merciful.
Yes, the Lord
is ever merciful. Even his seed is blessed. So we have to teach our young, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
I just pray, Lord, that you protect the young people. Cover them, Lord, in your blood. As they go to school, elementary school, kindergarten, or whatever it is, high school, even college, whatever it is, Lord, cover all the young people, Lord, in your blood.
Yes,
protect
Lord.
Them from all hurt, harm, and danger seen and unseen.
Yes.
And I pray for all the schools, even I pray for your blessings on the school campus playgrounds.
Yes.
Because a lot of our children
Lord.
And our teachers have been killed, and they have taken the prayer out of the school system, Lord. But, Lord, if we don't include you in the midst of everything, if we don't include you, nothing is going to go right. So I lift up the schools.
Right.
I lift up the teachers as well. And I pray, Lord, that you put it on their heart and mind to pray with the children. I pray, Lord, that you put it on the teacher's mind to teach the children how to pray, even in kindergarten, Lord. So, I thank you, Lord, and protect the little children because they, our young people and children, they are the future for tomorrow, Lord. Please, Lord, have mercy. Have mercy upon our children. They are the future of tomorrow because when we are gone, they will take over. So I'm praying, Lord, for your guidance, your mercy, your blessing them with favor. Your grace is sufficient. Your love, your loving kindness,
Lord.
And your faithfulness, Lord. It's everlasting and eternal. And I just looked up the young people, the babies, the young teenagers, the young people in college, Lord. Guide them. Give them wisdom.
Yes, Lord.
From the crown,
thank you,
from
Jesus.
The crown top of their head, from the soles of their feet. Give them wisdom, Lord, and let them know.
Yes, Lord.
And put somebody in their life to let them know, long as they put you first above all things, you will make the impossible possible. Because the Bible says, train that child up where that child should go. When that child get older, they will not depart from the gospel.
Not depart
so I'm praying
from it.
For
Amen.
Young people right now. And I'm praying for everyone here. I thank God for Brother Rick, who taught the listen very well. I thank God for Bishop Cook. I thank God for Mother Apostle Zeta. I thank God for Mother Mitchell, Minister Tina, the Carvers, Pastor Lester Carver. Vanessa Carver, all the Spirit Alive family, and there's more I can't think of, even the Scott family, Pastor Jeffrey Scott and Sister Michelle Scott. There are people I can't think of, but Lord, you know all the Spirit Alive family, and I thank God for the people that's tuning in all over the world. God bless them all in families, Lord, and God bless the young people and the babies, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you for who you are. As King Jesus, you hung, bled, and died. You died for the sins of the world, and you shed your blood for us, Lord, on Calvary's cross, as they say, the old rugged cross. And we should have been the one that died. We should have been the one that died. But the Bible says God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son.
Amen.
And Lord, you said, whoever believeth in me shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I know that's true. Thank you, Lord, because you preserve your
thank
saints
you,
forever.
Lord.
And I lift up all the babies, all the children. Bless
thank
them,
you,
Lord.
Father.
Keep your arm
yes,
protection around
Jesus.
Them as they go to school.
Yes, Lord.
They go to school.
Yes, Lord.
It was a young child, 11-year-old boy, on his electric bicycle, Lord. He got hit in Las Vegas going to school or coming from school. I don't know which one. And he got hit by two vehicles. One vehicle knocked him down, ran over him, and then a truck ran over him again, and he lost
my
an ear,
Lord.
And his face got scraped, and he got a hemorrhage to his head. And I lift up that young child right now in the precious mighty name of King Jesus. He was trying to, he's either going to school or coming from school and got hit twice. Lord, you're a miracle worker. You're a way
yes.
maker. You'll make a way.
Yes,
there's just
Lord.
No way. You're a light at the end of the tunnel because you are the light
yes,
of the world.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord, when the doctors
thank
say,
you,
when the doctors say, there's no hope, Lord, we know what you can do, Lord. You raised the dead. You raised the dead.
Amen.
You raised the dead. You gave sight to the
yes,
blind.
Thank
you healed
you,
the man with the withered hand. You killed. You can cast out the devil, out demons out of this man, and made him go in the swine. And the man kneeled down. He kneeled down because he knowed, and the demons knowed who you were. Because when the demons and the devil, when they hear the name Almighty Powerful Father God and Almighty Powerful Risen Savior King Jesus Christ, even the demons and the devil in hell tremble because they know you in control. So I'm lifting up that young child,
amen.
That young boy, because he's hanging on to fear. Like, again, I'm lifting
Lord.
Up all
bless
the children,
Lord
all
God.
The children, and all the babies.
Amen.
And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your many, many
thank
blessings. Because I'm claiming right now, in the mighty name of King Jesus, that child going to live, and he'd be able to tell his testimony,
yes.
or his mother be able to
his
tell
self.
The testimony. And
yes.
I thank you, Lord, for listening to this prayer. I thank you, Lord, for listening to our request. And just giving you all
yes.
the honor and all the glory and all the praises.
Yes.
It all belongs to you, Father God, and King Jesus, and
yes.
all these blessings we ask. In your mighty, precious name, amen. And thank God.
Amen.
And hallelujah is the highest praise. Hallelujah
thank
is the highest
you,
praise. Because you're worthy.
Yes.
You're worthy.
Yes, Lord.
You're worthy.
Thank
you're
you,
worthy
Jesus.
To be praised.
Oh,
thank you.
Thank you,
amen.
Mother Mackie. Thank
you.
Amen. Thank you for that beautiful
you,
prayer,
Lord.
Mother Mackie.
Thank
yes.
you.
We
yes,
thank
ma'am.
God.
Yes,
we thank
ma'am.
God
thank
for
you.
Our elders. We thank God for
yes.
their example.
Thank
we thank God that they
yes.
are not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
We just praise God on tonight
thank
for my dear, our dear brother Rick, who took time out of his busy
yes,
schedule
yes,
to come on and tell everyone
you,
why it is so important
thank
to
you.
Teach. The Ten Commandments
thank
to
you.
Our kids, our children.
Mm-hmm.
It is
thank
so
you.
Important
thank you.
For us to show them
thank
the way.
You.
So
yes,
many
yes.
times
thank
Christians
you.
Are saying, well, what's wrong with this generation? What's wrong with this generation? And our question is, what did you pour into the generation?
Oh,
we
that's
can't
right.
sit up and not teach our kids and then ask what's wrong with them. You know, we have to take
amen.
The responsibility. We have to make it a commitment to teach our kids the things of God, starting with the Ten Commandments, because that will teach them how to govern themselves in life. You know, you go, we have to be honest. Nobody will hire you, will keep you on a job if you're not honest, you're dishonest, or if you're stealing. You know, or if, or nobody will want to have you working with their kids if they're not sure about your character because you're always walking around cursing and using God's name in vain. There are so many examples that we can point to and show our children where the Ten Commandments are at the very heart of that law. And all you know, and although we have been made free in Christ Jesus, we are no longer bound by the law. That does not mean that we can just go out and sin and do anything that we want to do. So once again, I want to thank my dear brother, Brother Rick Altman, who is a phenomenal teacher. He is has a beautiful radio voice, and so I really enjoy his commentary. He puts me in the mind of people like Walter Cronkite and Mike Wallace, and even some, and sometimes he even sounds like Churchill. So you know, I want to thank him that he will come out and just sit with us and share in his own way. You see, he's not trying to be like Bishop or like Apostle Zeta or like Mother Mitchell or like Mother Mattie Scott. He is helping God's people his way, and that's all that God requires of us. So my brothers
amen.
And sisters, you have indeed been listening to the Common Sense File. It makes absolutely common sense for you to give your life to Christ Jesus if you do not know him and the pardon of your sin. It is time for you, if you do not know for yourself, parents, the Lord Jesus, it's time for you to get on his plan. It's time for you to get in line, and it's time for you to allow him to pour into you so that you are able to pour into your children. So and it's not something that you have to get all dressed to the nines to go into a church and do. All you have to do, if you want the Lord to come into your life so that you too can start living by this, the greatest moral code ever written, because it was inspired by God himself. You just need to go to him with a sincere heart and confess to him that you understand that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and just simply ask him to come into your life and save you. Confess those sins. Lay them at the cross and leave them there.
Yeah.
And then when you ask, because when you ask him to come into your life and save you, guess what? He begins to teach you his moral code himself. Amen. Hallelujah and glory to God. I'm Bishop Shalene Cook, and I want to just thank once again Brother Rick Altman, Mother Shirley Snyder Mitchell, Apostle Zeta Flowers, and, of course, Mother Matty Scott. Thank you for being so gracious and accepting your assignment for tonight. God bless all of you that were listening in the chat rooms, on your computers, and those of you that were listening around the world. We pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed weekend, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do, and from our household to your household, it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you from Brother Rick and I and all of us here at the Common Sense Files. Good night, everybody. Have a blessed
good
evening.
Good night, and God bless
you,
too.
Good night.
Good night.
Love you. God
love
bless
you.
You. Love you, Brother Rick.
Love you all.
Love you. Good night.
Love you all.
Amen.
God bless
good
you,
night.
Brother Rick. Love you.
Brother Rick.
Love you all.
Thank you.
Good night. Good night, Mother Mati. Love you, too.
Love you, too. Love you, too.
Yes.
Love you all. Good
night.
Night.